Welcome back to Mixed Bag. We're talking about the November and possibly December releases of 2024. I'm joined by Francesco, Isaac, and Lady V for the first time. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello there.
So let's talk about the games we've played recently. Could only take about an hour with our lineup. It's not too much for me. I've been more trying out new hardware. Unfortunately, not yet the PS5 Pro. But the Aerosoft Truck and Bus Wheel System, quite a decent wheel system. If you play simulation games like Euro Truck Simulator 2, it works flawlessly. If you play smaller games, it's a little more finicky to set up, but I guess that applies to many wheel systems, actually.
Yeah, or just like certain controllers in general can be a bit weird, like any with like extra buttons and things.
And this one actually has quite a lot of extra buttons, like 12.
Yeah, I saw the picture of it. It's like, yep, that definitely looks like one of those.
Yeah, you will read a more cohesive or expansive review of that on our website quite soon. And yeah, I've also been trying the Live Gamer 4K 2.1. Maybe you saw that in our Stalker 2 and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 videos. It's a 4K 144Hz capture. That feature was added in a recent firmware. So quite cool to be able to capture in that high resolution and also 144Hz. But of course, YouTube doesn't really support more than 60Hz or 60fps. So.
But at least it supports 4K.
Right.
Unlike Twitch.
I've heard if you upload 120fps videos, sometimes it actually works, but it still displays like a 4K 60.
Yeah, I've definitely seen like a few, I remember because I was testing out a new phone just to check, and it's like, it has some sort of weird support, but it's like, I don't know if they were originally intending to actually like fully support it and then just didn't or what, but yeah.
Maybe it's just like a test phase, so I don't want to risk the video being completely messed up, so I'm just outputting everything for now in 60fps.
I can't imagine Google abandoning a feature that they thought they were going to have. Nope, that just doesn't sound like happened. Them at all. Like.
What do you mean? Google is so careful about not letting diet products.
Stadia.
They never killed anything in their life.
It's fine. Stadia gets to kill a second thing soon when they stop supporting the update for the controllers to work like normal controllers on PC. Because you have to patch it, but then they're not offering the patch forever. So
oh, no.
Well, definitely someone is going to
store
the driver somewhere.
Yeah, the drivers will be available anyway.
So for the two people who used Stadia and still did the update.
The controllers themselves seem okay, but yeah, there's so many controllers for PC now. It's
yeah,
like,
I mean, if you have it, may as well use it for something else, but it's not exactly a Switch controller, you know. Who cares?
It's better than the Ouya controller, though.
Everything is better than the Ouya controller.
The weird little side panels with the batteries in.
I forgot that even existed.
I think everyone did. It got bought by, like, Razer or something, and then they killed it, too.
So bad they had to kill it twice. Wow.
Yeah, games-wise, I still want to play more of Stalker 2. So far, I've just done the same loop over and over again to test frame rates. But, yeah, hoping there's more than the beginning section, which was pretty strong, but very linear. But I heard it opens up quite a bit.
Yeah, the opening is designed to be like I get that it's supposed to be like a tutorial sort of bit, but it is, yeah, not really fully representative of the rest of the game. I know some people that straight up didn't like the opening section, but I think they were playing it pre-launch, and I don't know if anything got changed since then.
It runs better.
It runs better. It's still buggy, but I think everybody expected it to be.
Yeah, it's quite inconsistent in performance mode.
Out, honestly.
On the Xbox, yeah, it's a miracle. The dock is pretty good, pretty well made. It's more about the development of the game than the actual game, but I think we've pointed that out maybe in the last episode already. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, or we've talked about it. But yeah, they improved performance massively, and if you play in quality mode on Xbox, it runs pretty stable and looks pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard people have had better performance of it on the Xbox than on PC, actually. I've not had a chance to pick it up yet, but
yeah it's...
the Xbox version runs a little bit better.
Yeah,
it's on Game Pass. We'd like to feature here
on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's back.
It's not too surprising, I guess, because it's like obviously some, like, I'd imagine experiences with the PC version will be like wildly different depending on hardware, and even probably even people with the same hardware still having different experiences if it's anything like the first game, where it's just like very all over the place.
I think that, well, yeah, I suppose because there were similar, obviously, Microsoft Flight Simulators had a lot of issues, but the same, yeah. I heard the same thing, that it was a little bit more consistent on the Xbox rather than on PC, where I know I just couldn't get past the character creator for 4 days. So
yeah, well, like, obviously, like, Flight Sim also had the issue of, like, most of it's pushed towards, like, the streaming side now. Like, a lot of it revolves around streaming, so anytime the servers start dying, it's like even worse than the last game.
Yeah,
it's like no matter what hardware you have. But yeah, it's I wonder what file size it would have ended up being if they did allow you to have most of it, like, client side rather than server side.
Oh, that's a lot. Actually, I downloaded yeah. all of the world updates from the previous game, and they're all being streamed now. So that's really cool, a big improvement. So yeah, it takes hours to download all of, and you have to download each file by hand, manually select them and download them. And the download manager isn't the greatest, so that's really a big improvement. Once the servers work, and apparently since yesterday they do work, according to Asobo. I haven't really gotten to try it yet.
They probably work.
Maybe, hopefully they work.
What have you guys been playing?
I'd say the main one I've been playing, it was for work pretty much anyway, but Luma Island, which came out about a week ago now, I think, a week or so. It's sort of like whenever I say farming sim, I know a lot of people use farming sim for something like Stardew or whatever, but then you obviously have the actual farming simulators, but it's like a farming game, kind of like Stardew and whatnot, but it's more of a kind of like a chill grind game where you just kind of grind out money and materials, and you can make better stuff and increase the size of your farm and, like, explore and things like that. And I know a lot of people went into it expecting, like, something closer to Stardew, where you had the actual, like, villages and stuff, and there was, like, you know, events, stuff like that. But it's basically just a very chill grind game where the grind isn't, like, too crazy. It's not something like RuneScape where you have to grind forever, but they've patched it up a bunch since launch too, so the grind's actually been shortened even more. It's pretty fun. It didn't try to just copy the other games. Like, I know a lot of indie games still trying to be the next Stardew, and most of them don't do a very good job of it. But it's it's, like, pretty good. It has online multiplayer from the start, which is another thing that isn't that common with a lot of indie games, because, you know, making online multiplayer isn't particularly cheap or easy to do. But yeah, that was, like, I had the choice between playing that or Stalker 2, so I was like, I'll do this instead, because Stalker 2 is probably going to be a bit iffy. It's like we were talking about, it's like the current version has its issues, but then people that were reviewing it had even more issues to deal with. It's like the current version's already way more stable than it used to be. But yeah, it's like, I probably will play Stalker 2 eventually, probably next year once it's been patched up even more. But yeah, that was definitely the main game I've been playing. I did go back and play a, like, sort of Metroidvania-y, Souls-like sort of game called Grime, because I've been meaning to play it for a while, so I started playing that recently. It's very weird stylistically. It's like, you play as, like, a stone guy with, like, a void for a head, and, like, all of the enemies and stuff are, like, made of stone, but, like, kind of fleshy-ish too. So it's, like, it's very, like, very distinctive. It's kind of got its own weird style going for it. Very Souls-y, very Metroidvania-y. Like, I don't think it's, like, this outside of, like, the visuals, I don't think it's insanely, like, new, but it's like everything it does is just, like, it just does stuff well, I suppose. It's one of those games where it's not, like, completely reinventing the wheel, but it's still fun to play, which is more than fine by me, really, especially when it comes to indie Souls likes, because yeah, the quality goes kind of all over the place with them.
I think they've announced a sequel for it, haven't they? The studio that made it, I'm sure that there's a sequel. I don't know when the sequel's supposed to be coming out, but
it got announced a fair bit ago, I think. Yeah, like at least a few years. At least, I don't remember, maybe it was just a year, I can't remember, but I think it came to Switch early this year, so I'd imagine like they probably only just started working on the sequel full-time now. It's like, yeah, it's very early, like the Steam page doesn't have a release date or anything at all. It seems to be going for, it kind of has some of like the stone aesthetic, but like, it's kind of looking more like there's like definitely more weird color choices and stuff going on. But yeah, like it's pretty good game. It's well put together, which again, like I've played some indie souls likes that, and they clearly didn't have like the time or the budget to really like polish the everything, which can be an issue in a game where they're designed to, like, you can't, like, you know, make that many mistakes as the player. So it's like, if you end up dying to just stuff that's kind of out of your control, it doesn't feel that good. But yeah, it's pretty good. I've been, like, meaning to go through my, like, backlog of smaller Souls-likes and whatnot. Kind of, there's kind of a lot, kind of a lot to go through. But it's just because I played, It came out on consoles recently, Nine Souls. I played that midway through this year.
It's also
year.
On Game Pass.
Yeah, it's also on Game Pass. Yeah. Yeah.
Grime is actually on PS Plus Extra and Premium, so we don't always feature only Xbox.
But yeah, Nine Souls... Nine Souls was more of like a Metroidvania-y sort of thing with kind of more of like a Sekiro sort of slant to it. They even mention it as one of the like some sort of like one of the things that's like inspired it, at least the gameplay. And it's kind of like, ever since I played that, I was like thinking of all the ones I still needed to play. So I still think, yeah, Nine Souls is great, and the fact that that's out, like recently came out on more platforms now, is good. It should run really well on like everything too, so it's like the Switch version should be pretty good, because like anything timing based, if it comes to Switch and they have to like lower the frame rate, or the frame rate's really like inconsistent, it's like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, I played Nine Souls when it came out on Steam earlier on this year, and I think it got to the point that I almost broke the bumper button on my Steam Deck to get all the parties. I was like, I might have to transfer back home to playing this on PC and not playing it in the pub, where I'm getting very frustrated, but also not being very good at the timing bit of it. But it's a great game. I'm glad that it's come out to consoles recently.
Yeah, because like Grime has the sort of the whole parrying thing in it, as well as like an actual mechanic. Because it's like, if you parry, you can parry, and if you kill an enemy with the parry, you end up like absorbing them. And if you do that enough times, you like unlock new like passive abilities and stuff. So you're kind of incentivized to use that, at least on new enemies. It's kind of an interesting system, though. I'd imagine it'll annoy some people that don't want to ever parry. Because I know some people would prefer just, like, dodging or, like, just running away and, like, you know, getting a hit and run away. So it's like, I think like, systems like that obviously do kind of force you into a more specific play style, but I don't mind it, really. But yeah, those would probably be, like, the main ones. Because, like, I've been trying out bits and pieces of, like, other games, but those are the main ones I've actually like played a lot of recently.
Yeah, I guess it's the same for me too, in the sense that I haven't really played anything that much recently, but I did try some stuff here and there. The one that comes to my mind quickly is Sonic for Shadow, because a friend bought it, so he let me play like the beginning of the Shadow campaign. From what I played, the Sonic Generation gameplay is still there. They ported it very well. I tried the Switch version, which is unironically quite good, actually. It's obviously inferior, but I could see they tried to like hide when they had to lower graphics so that it's not noticeable. It's very dynamic in a way that you can still enjoy the gameplay without any slow frame rates or whatever.
Is it in 60 FPS?
I think it's still It's either 60 FPS or a locked 30, but from what I played, I didn't really experience any lower frame rates. There were just some moments where, since I have a trained eye, I could carefully see that there were some scenes where the graphics instantly lowered down, so it wasn't as much detail, but they're really fast and in a way that, unless you're like me, you shouldn't notice it. So they were very clever. Oh, they did a pretty good job in the porting. And the Shadow campaign seems interesting, but I only tried the beginning, so I know little bits and pieces about it. But since Sonic Generation was my favorite 3D Sonic game for a long time, I'm glad it got a remastered treatment. So I'm definitely looking forward to play more of it whenever, if I have the chance to do so.
One more game breaking out of the PS3 hell.
Yeah, I think the 3DS version had some exclusive levels, but sadly they weren't ported in the other version because it's a completely different game. So
it's kind of like another Sonic Rush sort of game-ish.
Exactly, yeah. It was basically such a different game that they really couldn't do that unless they rebuilt it from scratch. And I guess their intent was just to have Sonic Generation playable on modern consoles. And the Shadow campaign seems more of a Bowser's Fury feel, but more detailed because the gameplay is actually expanded a bit more. So
yeah, because it's like a different hub area compared to regular generations.
Yeah, it's a world different story. And the gameplay mechanics are also different because it takes into account Shadow getting to its weird powers. And the way they implement the chaos control is actually quite cool. Like, it can slow time at once, and you can get through dangerous passages. It's not like they did in Shadow the Hedgehog, where it just teleported in front of everything.
They should have given him a gun.
It actually shows in slowing time, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I guess this is the main thing, unless we are counting the trading Pokemon Pocket game on mobile. It is actually decent for a few minutes of fun and collecting. Like, it's just mostly collecting.
Yeah,
it's only like what I'm most interested in, and I don't really care much about the fights, even though they made some quick battles more fun.
Yeah, because actually,
that's enough for me. I just log in, collect cards, log off. Basically,
you've got like 800 cards. Is crazy. How do you get them amount?
You spend real money.
Yeah, no, I'm not spending any real money. That's a key point I'm trying to make. I'm not spending any real money.
I'm not even trying the free trial of the premium pass.
I'm not even trying the free premium trial. I was talking about that. I don't want to be tempted into spending money. So I'm staying free till the end.
I can't say I've not actually spent real money on it. I'm ashamed to say that I have spent real money on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm actually really enjoying the battle system on it, but I used to play the trading card game when I was like younger, so I've really enjoyed it. There's a new event just started today, the Venusaur event, where you fight a different deck.
I still didn't get the Venusaur cards. I've been very unlucky so far. I have everything else but not the Venusaur.
Don't worry. It's on until the end of the month. You've got 29 days to get it. So
eventually it will come home. I was way luckier with Lapras. I got Lapras like on the first try. I guess this is karma, and now I have to wait until the end. But yeah, it's still fine. I just don't intend spending any real money on this one. That's just a free hobby during some bathroom sessions and whatnot. Like, collect cards and move on with my life. I guess another unique one I can talk about, because my preview has already gone up and for the other website, and so there's no longer an NDA. I guess I can say I tried the newer Sniper Elite game, which I completely suck at, but I always suck at these games. But it does seem, from what I saw, very similar to the previous games, but I think they're trying to give a bit more freedom onto it. That's not really much I can say because I don't really have much experience with the series, so I can really tell you into detail what exactly changed. But from what I saw when I tried the previous one, because since it's on Game Pass, I thought, hey, may as well give it a shot before I actually try this new game, you know? I don't think they changed too much. I think they're trying to keep it very similar, so should still be familiar, like headshot Nazis, why not, try to not get caught, the usual stuff, you know. But seems fun for the fans of the genre. I'm not one of them, but sometimes you have to make do, you know. I kind of had to try it, so. But it doesn't seem that bad. I'm expecting, I could say the usual Sniper Elite is the way I describe it. Which may mean a good or a bad thing, depending on whether you're a fan or not. That's pretty much, I guess, what you can expect from this new game. Then it's not exactly a new game, but I guess I can throw a bomb for you there, so just the life doesn't seem too much boring. But I tried a new mobile controller, which I actually bought for myself during the Black Friday. Because it was very cheap, and that's what, yeah, you know, why not? It's the Gamser X2S, I think, yeah, X2S, that model. Specifically the USB-C version. It's actually pretty good, and I was surprised to learn that it actually can emulate a PlayStation controller via the PS remote app. That's not something a lot of Android controllers do, because They usually have to be licensed. It's basically like an emulation mode. They pretty much tell you that you sort of have to emulate a reconnection like it's a DualSense. It's kind of weird, but it's very automatic. What?
The last controller I reviewed didn't have sticks, so that's this one has sticks.
No, this one, it's actually pretty similar to... They made it a selling point, which actually convinced me, that it's very similar to Nintendo consoles, even though it has the layout of an Xbox controller. But the design is very similar to like a Switch or a 3DS, which is quite cool. Even for the sticks are there, but they are very small, but they do also attach some caps to make it larger, basically, which is pretty cool.
By default, they're like the caps are like minute.
They're extremely small, but with the caps, they become very similar to the Switch Joy-Cons, so it's actually playable that way.
Because like their newer ones, they released one that's similar to that one, but it has like a fan on the back, like a cooling fan.
No, mine is very cheaper that way.
Yeah, I did have that one at one point, but yeah, they've released one that's like similar to that, but it's like it's blue and it has like, I think it has like some like additional like attachable grips, and yeah, there's a big old cooling fan on the back. If you're a professional mobile gamer.
Yeah. Now this one works extremely well. Like I have no input lags at all, even if I'm playing via remote play, so it's actually pretty good. I'm surprised. The only thing I can say as a downside, which is basically just a me thing, is that the home button doesn't seem to really do anything. Like sometimes it works and it sends you to the Android home page, but besides that, it basically serves no purpose. So it can't just emulate the Xbox button, for example, or the PlayStation one. So that's very weird.
Yeah, because I think a lot of it.
I don't think
on, like,
you
that.
Can map it either, because I tried multiple stuff, but there's no way to map it to something else. It's just there. I don't know what the purpose of this button is, but you can just ignore it. But besides that, it works pretty great so far. Hopefully, it stays that way and it doesn't actually like break in 1,000 pieces from in a few months from now. But from now, it seems to. I'm actually pleasantly surprised at the price I paid.
And it's also supported by Game Pass and Steam Link, right?
I think this is the version that isn't actually designed for Xbox, but yeah, you can also use it from via Steam Remote Play and Game Pass. I used this Xbox Remote Play, specifically not the cloud, but it also worked amazingly well. It was like I was actually in front of my Xbox, but I was playing on my phone. That kind of stunned me. for a second because I'm used to a shorter input lag, you know, but it worked pretty much flawlessly. So it's definitely recommended from me. If you need something to play, remote play more comfortably. Again, the size and the button layout is very similar to a Switch or a 3DS if you want to keep that in mind. But so it doesn't have like the controller grips because this is specifically the DS version. So I guess it's a bit cheaper, but it's very similar to the Nintendo consoles. So it's actually still quite comfortable. And I guess I just threw that in there because otherwise I don't know really what else to talk about, but I guess that's pretty much it for me. Because mostly I usually still play the regular stuff, free-to-play stuff, and that's boring to talk about, so I guess we'll just end it there.
Yeah, Genshin Impact you play quite a bit, right? It came to Xbox.
Not through Genshin, but I'm playing the Star Rail and Zealous. I dropped Genshin basically at launch. It's too much for me. I need a game that I can log in, play a few minutes or hours, and then just log off. Genshin doesn't really respect your time. I'm glad it exists because it basically finances Oyoverse all other games.
Yeah.
But besides that, I don't intend coming back to it. But it did come out on Xbox recently. That almost tempted me, but no. I'm staying on my comfort zone.
Yeah, and coming back to Sonic, it actually runs on 31.5 FPS.
So I guess it's 30 FPS locked. But again, it does run well. So.
Well, it's a 31.5 lock. That's the special thing about this version.
That's really interesting, which I guess it's why it tricked me into not being a full 30 FPS, because it's slightly faster. But
it seems to work, yeah.
It seems to work. Yeah, it's a good strategy. I give it that.
Everyone's going for 45 FPS or trying to maintain 60. And all we really needed was an extra 1.5 frames per second.
Well, it's funny because 40 specifically is actually a good like middle ground for it. Because it happens a lot with people playing on Steam Deck.
120 Hz also.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, because if you have a 120 Hz monitor, they're going for 40s for FPS is actually pretty good. Because it's like, there's some actual specific thing to it that I've already forgotten, but basically it's like 40 feels a lot smoother than 30, but obviously it doesn't require the same amount of power as trying to go for a full 60. It was like I used it quite a bit when I was when I had the Steam Deck, and it's like it does actually work as an option. But yeah, it's like I still don't expect most developers to actually try and aim for that deliberately. But yeah, with the whole like some PS5 games supporting it, but only if you have 120 Hz monitor.
Yeah, I played Spider-Man 2 quite a bit in 40 FPS mode because it also has ray tracing. But of course, now with the Pro, I think you can play in like 60 FPS with those effects.
I think they added like a few options, I think. But yeah, like 40, it's like it feels way smoother than 30, but like you can still kind of, you don't have to like really like compromise on the visuals as much to like keep the frame rate up.
I think on a big screen, 60 still looks quite a bit better. Maybe on Steam Deck it works well, but
yeah, especially on the smaller screen too. Performance like yeah. Small screen, like low FPS doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah, it's one of the things I very rarely notice when I'm playing things on my Steam Deck is if the frame rate is not great, and if it's not consistent, obviously that's a completely different issue. But I've never looked at something on the Steam Deck and went, "Oh, why isn't this running 60 FPS?" You know?
Yeah, definitely. Like I did use it a lot because, especially with the Steam Deck, you can just sort of mess with the settings per game. I did use 40 a lot because it's like same with them. You can like lower the TDP, so you can just lower the power usage. It's like a lot of like fiddling around with settings, especially with the LCD one with the worst battery, kind of having to try and get as much battery life out of it as possible. But yeah, I don't expect it to ever happen with stuff like the Switch 2 or whatever. Like, I think that'll just be like 30 and 60 and like that's it. Like, they won't try anything else fancy with it, but I mean, maybe they will. It would be weird to see Nintendo put in like a 90 Hz monitor or something, a 90 Hz screen on it. I don't think they ever would do it, but I mean, it's Nintendo. They could do something strange.
Yeah, they probably won't have an OLED variant at start, at launch.
I don't expect it. Maybe it'll happen, but yeah, it's more likely to be an LCD again.
Maybe the Xbox handheld will have an OLED screen at launch.
Maybe the Xbox handheld will release.
Honestly, if they actually release an Xbox handheld, but it actually runs all games you own on Xbox, that's a must-buy for me, if they actually do that.
Yeah, I don't expect it to happen, really. It feels like something they kind of want to do. But
it's going
to
take a while, at least until 2026. So.
Yeah. Because presumably by then there'll be another Steam Deck as well, I'd say.
Maybe.
I say it's likely, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Valve did mention they only want to make a new Steam Deck if it actually makes sense to make one. The prices need to be cheaper so that they can actually bring the Steam Deck with the same pricing as the Steam Deck one, basically. But, they could change your mind. Who knows?
Yeah, I wonder if the PlayStation Portal will still be supported by then. But it's quite cool to have cloud streaming on that now as well.
If you have premium.
Right.
The problem is Portal also only supports Wi-Fi, I think. So.
Well, technically you can use your phone as a hotspot.
I suppose, yeah, you could do that. It's kind of intricate, but I guess you could do that.
But I wonder if you still need a PS5 to set up the Portal?
No, I think the Remote Play actually doesn't need a PS5. I don't know about the setup, but to actually play cloud games, you don't need a PS5. That was the main selling point. You just need to have the PlayStation Plus Premium and you're good to go.
Right, but for the first setup, usually you always needed the PS5 to sync it with the PS5. So I hope they removed that as well. But
they could remove that.
If you have PS Plus Premium, you probably also have a PS5 anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you bought a PS Portal specifically to play cloud games.
Play 100 games or 120, I think.
Only 50, I guess, for now. But
50.
Yeah, it's a beta. It's in beta. They did say they want to put more games later on, but I think it's a shorter release. Unless I read it wrong or I remember it wrong. But I think.
Yeah, maybe I mixed it up with the Xbox stream your own games thing. Which is also cool to not only have to rely on Game Pass, but...
Or maybe I'm mixing it. You're making me have doubts now.
The Xbox stream your own game thing seems... I mean, I think that makes it seem like an Xbox Portable might be more likely. I have been just using it to feed more of my Balatro addiction over the last month. Just give me another excuse to play more Balatro and I'll be there. So
just buy the mobile version too now, yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. It's like I've got it on my, I don't have the mobile version, but I have it on Steam and I play it a lot on my Steam Deck. But for days where I don't want to heft my Steam Deck around with me, it's just like, I'll just play it on my phone through Xbox Cloud Streaming now. But I feel like if I bought it specifically for my phone, at the very least, if it's the Xbox Cloud Streaming, I have to remember my Razer Kishi because it's not touch supported. If I just had the mobile version, I feel like my productivity would absolutely tank. I would never get anything done. I've been playing obviously lots of Balatro this month because I'm always playing lots of Balatro. But I've also been playing The Rise of the Golden Idol because that came out earlier on in November.
I think it's a remake.
No,
remastered.
It's a new game.
Oh, it's actually a new game, because I think it's got the same name, so...
It's the sequel to The Case of the Golden Idol.
Oh, okay, okay, that's why it threw me off.
Oh, no, don't worry, I think a lot of people used to call the original one The Rise of the Golden Idol. I don't know why, I think maybe it just sounds more like a mystery film or a mystery novel or something like that. So they were like, okay, we'll name the new one The Rise of the Golden Idol, and then if anyone's searching...
Are you happy now?
Both of them will come up. It's really good, although the controls are a bit weird for this one on the Steam Deck. The first one wasn't fully optimized for Steam Deck, but it seemed to work a little bit better. I don't know what they've done with the controls on this one, but it makes it significantly more finicky while playing on Steam Deck, so it works. You can get around it, but there's certain parts of it where I think they've tried to optimize the menus and stuff, so it's better on PC, and it's just also made it worse on Steam Deck for some reason. So, but it's a fun game. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I just watched somebody else play through it on Discord just via streaming. Yeah, it is basically like a more of the first game in a good way, with like a different visual style, I suppose. That's like the main thing.
Changed a little bit, yeah. But still a very good puzzler, if that's what you're in. I like them because, well, I like a lot of puzzle games, but it doesn't hold your hand at all. In fact, in certain cases, in the first one, right towards the end, almost all of the areas of the text are blank. So obviously you like investigate the clues and then you have to get the words.
You mean Atreus
won't
tell me how to solve the puzzles this time?
No, it doesn't tell you. Yeah, there's certain bits of it and I'm like, do you know what? I have absolutely no idea what this even means. But I think that's a good thing. Also, a lot of it sometimes relies on you remembering things that have happened in the previous cases as they're all linked together. So maybe it's
grab your doc notebook.
Yeah, write some stuff down. It's like, I recognize that man from somewhere. The game just assumes you know their name because you saw them three cases before. It's like, right, okay. I'm going to have to flip through the notebook.
You have a lot of trust in my memory, in my short-term memory.
Yeah, well, it helps because you can just like exit out and like go back to the previous cases and stuff as well pretty easily. So it's like they don't make it like too hard for you to like actually like try and go and double check things. And obviously, if you're playing on PC on Steam, you can kind of use the whole notes thing on Steam as well, which is nice. I've started trying to use that a bit more. Versus like having like a notepad open or something.
Yeah, I use that a lot for was it? I think it's coming out on console next month. But the Lorelei and the Laser Eyes.
Yeah, that's coming out soon.
Yeah, but I use the notes features on Steam quite a lot for that. Because it frequently was asking me to do math, and I was like, right, okay, I've not had to do. Like, what are you asking me? But again, it's a very good little puzzle game. So. Hopefully, when it comes out on PlayStation, I think it releases next month. It'll get a little bit more eyes on it because it's a really good little indie puzzle game. Although the menuing system in that is significantly worse than the case of the Golden Idol. It doesn't have a back button, so you have to manually exit out of menus, or else you'll just keep going back into the same document five times in a row. Definitely, have not done that. But Rise of the Golden Idol, and I have been playing some Microsoft Flight Simulator for when it works. So over the past week, it has gotten a lot better with the patches and things. But it's Microsoft Flight Simulator, isn't it? It's not doing anything massively different from the 2020 release. Although the career mode's very fun. Getting to start from tiny little airports that people don't really know exist.
Yeah, exactly.
I started because I obviously I'm in Scotland, so I was trying to find Edinburgh Airport, but obviously you can't get your pilot's license at Edinburgh Airport. So I started off from Cumbernauld Airport to do my pilot's license training. So it was quite fun. I'm enjoying it. The career mode's good fun. And I've got a flight stick and stuff. So it works quite well with that on PC, I would say. Once they get everything else all ironed out, I think I'm going to put hundreds of hours into it like I did the last one, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, at least you notice right away if the servers are not working, because everything looks like moon craters.
Yeah, or just a slideshow of Google Earth or Google Maps from like when it was first launched.
So thanks for sharing that. So let's head right into the November releases, which we had quite a bit, like on Switch at the beginning of the month on the 7th, Mario & Luigi Brothership. I don't think any of us have played it.
I haven't. I was basically waiting to see what it would be like, because obviously it's kind of a new team. I think they did bring on a lot of people from...
It's acquired the team from the Octopath Traveler games.
They do a lot of weird... They seem to get involved in a lot of stuff. But I think they did bring on some stuff from
I think it's a mix. The name of... It's the Alpha Dream team and Acquire.
Yeah, but it's like I kind of wanted to wait and see. And from what I've heard, it does sound a bit so. It kind of sounds like it's not really like evolving. And it feels like maybe like a downgrade in some ways.
From against... what I heard from a friend who did play it, I think it told me basically that it doesn't start that great. It's Like, he even wanted to drop it at the beginning, but later on it actually becomes a good game. So it's kind of a weird one, I suppose. It's not Bowser Inside Story. It doesn't reinvent the wheel, but I suppose it's decent for what it does.
Yeah, most of the stuff online that, or the YouTube videos I've seen about it, is massive fans of Nintendo or massive fans of like the Nintendo RPGs are absolutely loving it. But obviously there has been some mixed reviews. I'm sure everyone saw the IGN review of it that got a lot. Yeah.
IGN completely got it off mark because they make it sound like it's a shit game, which it's not. It's decent. It does its flaws.
I don't know. I have definitely seen people that like the other games not really like this one, because I know somebody that played it and they were basically saying to me that it was pretty much like 10 hours too long for its own good, and it also had the whole issue of like a lot of like stuff like Dream Team, where there's way too many like tutorials and handholding. So it's like you have like the really slow start and then like an okay mid game, and then it kind of drags on for ages.
Yeah, that's pretty much like what I heard too.
So it's like I wouldn't even like, because the thing with the whole IGN reviews, like the backlash from like people that hadn't even played the game yet, reminded me a lot of what went down with Starfield, where like any of the lower reviews had like, you know, people that hadn't played the game yet but that wanted to play the game were like, you know, go, this review sucks, and then the response to Starfield was kind of like, yeah,
maybe they had a point with Starfield.
Yeah, it was like, because I'd imagine like a lot of the people that were probably complaining about the IGN review, once they actually played the game, they might not even disagreed. Like, it's always the stupid thing when it comes to the reviews. It's like, there's a load of reviews out there. Just read a few, like make your own opinion on stuff. Like, don't just throw, they just read the actual words rather than just the number.
Nah, it's still hard to actually read.
It seems
see
like
the funny
that
number.
It's like, because you had people like trying to like, that obviously hadn't like read anything, were like trying to accuse the IGN reviewer of like not being a fan of the games, but it was like they were specifically reviewing it, like they were probably the one that got to review it on IGN because they were a fan of all the other games. So it's like, it's just, yeah, like I wish review scores would go away, but with how like stuff like Google is and whatnot, it will never go away.
I wish people would actually learn to read.
And yes, actually read read the text on the screen. But yeah, it will never happen.
Wish there was a website who doesn't have review scores.
Yeah, because it's,
let us know in the comments if you know any. So VR fans also got a new game, like they do every few weeks.
Every now and then.
Metro Awakening VR seems like a pretty solid new entry in the franchise, if you like the books. I think it was developed by Vertigo, who also did the Arizona Sunshine games.
Yes, they. I've definitely like, there's a lot I want to play on VR, but I don't have VR in any way, shape, or form. So it's like, I think by the time I do pick up any headset, I will have like a decent backlog of stuff. But it feels like if you were like an active like VR gamer, there isn't like that much to look
forward
to.
Are there actually active VR gamers?
Yes. I mean, you have Batman now and Metro and Arizona Sunshine.
Yeah.
So recently, so like a few games have come out.
It's not been too bad.
That it's been a pretty dry spell since Half-Life Alyx, which has been a while.
Especially if you got a PSVR 2. Oh, dear. I mean, although they had the whole, like, you could buy the adapter and play on PC, except some of the stuff doesn't work because, of course, it doesn't. But,
and no PSVR 1 games. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, I get why it's like that, but they really should have worked with developers to make like get patches out, because it's like different tracking between the PSVR 1 and 2.
Yeah, make
it's,
a
like
retrocompatibility thing. I don't know.
Well, it's like they definitely need patches,
make them run in
some
way,
get them function. But yeah, they specifically should have been working with devs to get more games compatible with the PSVR 2, and they just didn't. It kind of just got thrown out there, and it's like, okay, like,
they thought, well, okay, nobody cares about VR 2, so
it's just why I'm surprised they even released it. It's such a weird choice, but yeah,
at least this one is on PSVR 2, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, they fixed Gran Turismo finally, so that actually the game world moves at the same speed as you move. Well, that's quite cool.
That sounds like a pretty bad issue.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, dear. It's like, you want motion sickness? That sounds like a good way to, like, have
it. Well, it wasn't that bad, actually, as it sounds, I think. From what I've played on an event, at least, I've never owned a PSVR 2. It worked pretty well. But now it's even better. Not sure if it's on Black Friday sale, maybe, but I don't expect it to be a future-proof device there.
Yeah, like I suppose it's slightly future-proof just by them releasing the adapter, but then they'll probably stop selling that, so it's like, yeah, it'd probably better off just picking up a specific...
S3S,
like,
maybe?
Yeah.
Like $299 that. Or euro or pounds.
So it's like, I either pick up like a dedicated VR headset or a PC-specific one, although obviously like the dedicated ones just can work on PC anyway as well.
I tried the Pico 4 Ultra a little bit on games at Gamescom, and that was pretty good. And also more games are coming now there as well.
Yeah, like they don't seem to get advertised, like the Pico versions for whatever reasons. But yeah, like they do seem pretty competitive.
Was it Arcade Paradise VR just released on the Pico?
I think it was that.
That's the one. I just searched in my inbox for it.
Because it's like, it does seem like they could often, maybe send
like
it
a press release saying a game is coming to Pico opposed to a Meta, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's
maybe there's
a
way
one.
To sideload Quest games onto the Pico at some point. So maybe
I don't know how that sort of stuff works. Yeah.
What else do we have this month? We have had a few Switch ports, like Stray. Which is quite cool. It took them a while to port it there, but it doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, as I say, it's not too surprising they took a while. Having to like try and cut down the visuals a little bit. But yeah, like I don't know. I feel like part of the whole thing with Stray and like games like that where then like I suppose Stray's not quite walking sim, but it kinda is ish. Like you know, like kind of whether it's just wandering around, like the exploration of it's the main thing. I feel like cutting down the visual aspect of it, it kind of maybe defeats the point a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, because it was such a big selling point of it was how beautiful the world was. So I think, yeah, you're right. It might take away a lot. I've not seen it on the Switch. I've not seen how well it runs, actually.
Yeah, well, it's like, I find with a lot of Switch stuff, it's like I'd never want to play it in docked mode ever. Because like a lot of the time it's like, the slight increase in resolution isn't like enough for like how much of a bit like how big of a screen it is versus playing it handheld. So it's like I think maybe in handheld it'll be all right because it definitely never really feels like performance and resolution is that much better in docked versus handheld. And then especially if you're playing it on a big TV, it's like this looks awful.
I don't even think my Steam, not my Steam, my Switch dock, it's not connected. In fact, I know it's not connected to the TV. It's in my office, and I only play my Switch in handheld mode. I can't remember the last time it was connected to my TV.
Yeah, I haven't touched dock mode in a while. It'd be like
maybe
outside
if I've got
of
people coming round to play Mario Kart. Like, then it's like,
pretty much
it. Plug in.
Well, I've been looking at Stray and it doesn't look too dissimilar to the PS4 version. Of course, if it gets too busy, like in the villages, there's a certain lack of detail there. But yeah, it's not looking too bad.
It'd be interesting to see how LEGO Horizon runs on the Switch versus like PS5 PC. Because that came out in November, didn't it?
Yeah. I feel like...
I've not actually heard many people talking about it.
I don't think anybody wanted it. Like, it's such a weird property to like have a LEGO one of. But... They did it for reasons. I think it's one that even if they had to cut down like the visuals, it's like obviously the like whole Lego style kind of lends itself to being like even if you reduce like some of like the textures or whatever, it's still not gonna look that bad.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it's like kind of top down ish anyway. I mean, not like top down, but yeah, like it probably scales a little bit better to the Switch. It's just weird, to see like a Sony property coming to Switch day one.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not just a PlayStation game. It's like the full. That's an exclusive property. But obviously, they know that.
And it's only missing Xbox for whatever reason. They really hate Microsoft.
Not even business
that
anymore.
That kind of makes me think like it was Lego who forced them to actually release them on Switch.
Yeah, it probably was like a requirement. They were like, look, you just skip Xbox, whatever, put it on Switch now.
But yeah, I've not really seen anyone. As you say, I don't know who was asking for it, but I've not seen really anyone. I've not even seen proper like reviews of it or anything like that. I almost forgot it came out, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very weird one. Like, yeah, it just
sort of came out and everyone forgot about it, you're right.
Again, like, of all the properties, like, I saw somebody say they should have done, like, Ratchet and Clank, and I'm like, yeah, they probably should have. That would have been more interesting.
Yeah, that would have been great, actually. I think that, and it would
that
really
would actually would have worked great, a Lego Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Chicken Dexter.
Like, yeah, like, I think...
For some reason, they really think Horizon is their biggest IP ever.
Yeah, Horizon's
nobody really
one of those
knows why, but they keep like pushing it.
Well, I think, obviously, with Horizon specifically, there's already, like, the Lego sets for it, so it's like, I guess.
Okay, yeah, now that you mention it, that does make a bit sense.
It's probably like, that's why, but then, obviously, then the thing then becomes, why are there Horizon Lego sets, but not Lego sets for the Sony stuff instead? Yeah. But, yeah, Horizon's one of those weird ones where it sells a bunch of copies, but, like, it kind of just fades out of memory from everyone for, like, right after.
And for some reason, Sony still thinks it's their biggest IP ever made.
And I don't know how true it is, but people bring it up on Twitter quite often. It's like Herman Hulst's favorite game. So like that's why it gets everything, and other things just get forgotten about. But I mean, hopefully when they, because it's a decent game. Like I've not played Forbidden West, but the first one was pretty decent. But I hope the next one they release isn't at the same time as, you know, whatever FromSoft is releasing that month.
Yeah, or another terrible release window.
Yeah.
Like, Forbidden West is fine as well, but I can't remember, somebody explained it as like, oh, it's an open world game for people that like don't like open world games, but then you play it and it's like, it's just an open world. It's not like, it still has all the usual open world stuff, like random collectibles and like check marks and stuff. Like, it's not that unique. Like, obviously, you have the whole, like, you're hunting, like, all the mechanical, like animals and stuff, Like, it's definitely, I'd say, like, the gameplay is generally better than the first game. The story isn't. I didn't really like the story that much in a lot of ways in the first one anyway, but they're definitely, like, fine games, but, like, I don't think they're, like, that much more memorable than, like, a lot of other open-world stuff either. And yeah, it is weird that they specifically chose it for a Lego game over other stuff.
God of War? Maybe brutal for the audience.
I was about to say, I kind of get why God of War isn't, but like, I think it still could work, especially if they were doing like, you know, modern God of War. You already have like the whole, you could easily translate it to co-op from the get-go anyway, with modern God of War, you already have the characters, so it's like... But okay, yeah,
Lego Bloodborne. That's what everyone wants. Like.
They won't even give like PS5 Bloodborne. Whatever's going on there.
Not even a PC Bloodborne. No Bloodborne.
Yeah, it's such a strange situation.
I swear they will buy From Software and still refuse to release Bloodborne in any shape or form, even after that.
Yeah, it's strange because it doesn't even need like remade.
All they
or
need
anything.
Is to unload the FPS. That's all people are asking.
Yeah. It's I don't get what's
just
what the
remove
deal is.
The 30 FPS cap. You don't need
a PS5 Pro patch. I will buy a PS5 Pro. Like, just tell me on it.
Give us Bloodborne.
Like, that's the thing. If they had announced like even just Bloodborne PS5 alongside the Pro, like anything to like that made any announcement alongside the Pro like would have been good. But yeah, it's weird.
Or maybe with Sony possibly purchasing Kadokawa.
I think buy from software, but I swear to still refuse to release Bloodborne, even if they buy it.
Someone in Sony, like Herman Hulst loves Horizon and he hates Bloodborne. It's his least favorite game. He's just like,
There must be some intern who really hates Bloodborne that much.
Yeah, and if you haven't had enough of Horizon, you can also play Light of Mortiram from Tencent, which looks exactly like Horizon.
Which is literally the personification of the meme. We already have Horizon at home.
Yeah,
because it's like if you look at something like Genshin Impact or like Palworld, you can totally see like the inspiration they're going with. But I always forget the name of it.
Copy Pokemon designs, so there's
yeah. That, but like, I feel like specifically in this case. From like the art, yeah,
this,
and the marketing
this is
materials.
Just shameless. This is just shameless at all. But even the poses are the same. The artworks. Yeah. They didn't even try to hide it. You know.
But it's like now it's a free-to-play survival crafting game. Yeah.
Because we've got
something completely unique. The world never saw before.
So a game that is actually affecting November and December because it was moved from 21st November to 16th of December, if I'm not mistaken. On Your Tail is a pretty cute detective game set on in an Italian coastal town.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember seeing this now because it was like... I keep forgetting if this was the one that was like trying to almost make itself look like kind of like a life simmy one, but it isn't really. It's just... Yeah, like it's a detective thing.
Yeah, it was originally published by Humble Games, but since they don't really exist anymore, it had to be moved.
Well, I think it is still being published by Humble Games, but like...
Technically, yes.
Yeah, it's weird. Pretty much, yeah. It is.
I should contact anybody of Humble Games and then you see how much they exist, actually. But yeah. And it's also coming to console early next year, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the whole Nintendo Humble Games thing is weird.
And there's also a demo on Steam. It's the same build as you could play at Gamescom, so if you've already played it there, it's nothing new there, but yeah, it's like a fun hour of detective gameplay.
Set in Italy?
Yeah, little Italian village.
Yeah.
It looks very cozy, actually, for a detective game. We might pick up at some point.
It is, and it has quite nice writing, bit of humor in there, so it's quite cool. What else do we have in December? Path of Exile 2 is a tiny game you may find yourself spending hundreds of hours with just by exploring the skill tree.
Yeah, like... I'm not really sure why they're doing it this way with early access for Path of Exile 2. It's like Path of Exile 1 like still exists. Just have people play that until 2 is ready. But I guess they wanted to have it get it out there for, but probably to have people rage at whatever minor changes have been made between the games.
Yeah, that's it. And they will keep supporting Path of Exile 1 for a few months at least as well.
Yeah,
at least at Gamescom. See if it also
Path of Exile was all right. I think it's just like the skill tree really like is the biggest problem with it.
Yeah,
it's like you just look at that and you're like, how are you supposed to make any informed decision of what to level? It's just like a massive like blob of like nodes. It's like, okay, great.
Maybe there's a reason why the devs are called Grinding Gear Games. It's like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like you just like have to look up a build because it's like. There was Walson. I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. There was another game, yeah, Walson Lords of Mayhem, where it had the whole like big skill tree with like a billion different like skill nodes and stuff. But like that game specifically had this gimmick where you also could like turn different rings in the skill tree, so you could like adjust how it was laid out just to make it even more confusing. It's just like, it's like, sure, give the player a bunch of choices, but like at the same time, it's so difficult for you to like plan anything out because of how like you just look at it and your eyes glaze over. It's like how are you supposed to like figure anything out? Oh dear, it's like when I was playing Dragon Age Veilguard, where it's like looking at the thing of nodes initially, and it's like so many they all share like there's only like a few different icon types for the things, so you have to hover over each one to figure out what they even do, and it's like great.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit strange how massive the skill trees were in Veilguard compared to the other games in the series. I was like, oh, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing here.
It's like you do kind of eventually figure out, because you can, it's like you kind of just go in like one of three directions and then just sort of put points anywhere else, because you have enough points for like a third of the skill tree in that, and you can just refund all the points at any times. It's like, it's not too bad, but it's, again, it's just like there is at least some direction in that compared to Path of Exile. But yeah, it's
so it's choice... like, what the fuck do I go kind of game.
Yeah,
as we like to like, call them.
Yeah, it's like for Path of Exile, it's like there's so many nodes, a lot of them kind of just do minor stuff, and it's like, yeah, just trying to pre-plan anything. It really needs some sort of like leveling templates, or like being able to like import somebody else's like build or something, just to like, so you don't have to think about it anymore. But yeah,
from what I've heard, it actually guides you a little bit this time around.
I am not surprised they try and do that, because it's definitely, it's like the thing that threw me off a bit when I first tried out. And if you look up anything for Path of Exile, or like for a lot of new players, it's like, that is the specific issue. It's like, versus playing like modern Diablo, where it's like, you still have to make choices and stuff, but it's easier to respec, and you're not kind of like thrown into like a massive skill tree from minute one.
Yeah, and also respecing isn't as punished as much. You don't get punished as much as in the first game, so that's also a plus, hopefully.
That's, yeah, that was basically it too, because like you couldn't respec very easily. Like you had to grind up like that specific currency for respecing, and it's like, great. But yeah, like I'm definitely interested in trying it, but it's more like maybe I'll wait until after it's patched up a bit, like once it's out of the early access phase for however long that's supposed to be.
Another game coming out on the same day, which is not an early access, I think, is Marvel Rivals. Finally, we're getting it, hopefully.
Finally coming out, Marvel Overwatch.
Yeah, so it's not early access. So it's not early access, but it's kind of like the first month is being like dubbed as like season zero. So it's like mildly early access, but like they're going to be adding like a bunch of new maps and some characters and stuff during that like initial month season. I get they probably just wanted to get it out before Christmas, before the holidays. So they're like, we'll just release it now and then get new stuff out for like the first month. It helps with like player retention too, I guess. But
remind all the children of all their favorite Marvel characters just before Christmas.
Yeah,
so that their parents have to go and buy the merch. Like,
yeah, at the very least, the game itself is monetized only via like the cosmetic stuff. So all the characters are just free and unlocked,
which is versus... a good thing. At least they did figure it out.
Yeah, because like,
and not after a lot of seasons.
Yeah, because like Overwatch 2 had
other
it.
Games.
Yeah, it was like Overwatch 2 had it where like the majority of characters you could get free, but then you were kind of locked out of the newest one for a little bit. But then they just reverted that anyway. So, but like you still have to, if you're playing on like a new account, you still have to like play games to unlock characters. But yeah, obviously Marvel Rivals, they're just like, nah, you just get everyone.
Which should be the good way to go, honestly.
Yeah, so it's like
free to play game.
I never managed to get into any of the betas or anything, but it looks fun. It's obviously free to play, so it's like if it ends up being terrible, it's like I've spent any money on it. But like, it should be fun at least for a while, especially while people don't know exactly how to play. Because like for a while, it was like that in Overwatch, where like the first few months, obviously people weren't like that good. Like, and then eventually, once people figure out like all the cheese and like the broken characters and stuff, it's like the game starts to change again. But like, it's like you may as well jump in early when everybody's figuring stuff out. And yeah, quite a lot of characters. I probably will never spend any money on the game because I don't buy cosmetics generally. Especially for like games where there's specific characters. Because at least something like Fortnite has the whole thing of like, there's just the one set character, so skins work no matter what you're doing. Whereas in like Overwatch or Marvel, it's like you can only buy skins for specific characters. So then you'd be having to spend more on like buying characters for everybody you played, and it's like, nah, I'd rather not. But yeah, definitely looking forward to playing it. I genuinely doubt that it will actually be playable on the 6th of December because the servers will die instantly.
Probably,
yeah, that's more likely.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it whenever it actually functions.
I'm used to every free-to-play big game just crashing at day one.
Yeah.
At this point.
it's probably going to happen. But it's mainly just like, how long will it take before it fixes itself? Which, yeah, could be a while, could be quick. I don't know.
Speaking of games where you don't have to spend any additional money if you're a Game Pass member, you can play Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, where cosmetics aren't a big thing since you're playing in first person. I think it's from Machine Games, who also did Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
the Wolfenstein
devs. It's like they really want to talk about the original Wolfenstein games. Because we can't do that here. And we can talk about previous Indiana Jones games, but we're talking about this in a specific game here. And Troy Baker. Yeah, Troy Baker is Indiana Jones, but he looks like Indy.
Harrison Ford.
Which isn't too unusual. Like, they can use like the likeness.
Yeah, they have the likeness of the actor, but
like Nathan Drake.
They needed a younger voice. Harrison is getting old, folks. We need a younger voice.
I feel like Harrison Ford would be far too expensive also.
That's also true.
Microsoft, it's a small indie company.
If they can save money. But,
technically, it's a Bethesda game, right?
Yeah.
But Bethesda is Microsoft, so nowadays.
Yeah, it's like...
In a way.
First person Indiana Jones is definitely an interesting choice, but it's not even... fully first person, so like a lot of the actions are done in third person still, but I think it can work. Obviously it's on Game Pass, so you can kind of just try it for free anyway regardless of how it turns out, but I'm like cautiously optimistic about it. Like, it could be good. It's definitely interesting to see a new Indiana Jones game released like now of all times. it's a bit of an odd choice.
They probably wanted to cash in on the latest movie being successful, except it flopped hard, so they were kind of stuck. So let's hope the game is actually good.
I'm more confident in the fact they've chosen first person, given the fact it's Machine Game. The guys who made Wolfenstein, because the Wolfenstein games are so good. So, well, the first two of the new ones are very good. So I'm like, I'm like, okay, I've got confidence that you can make a great first-person game, so.
and obviously they did still put in the third-person stuff for, like, you know, swinging over things and what else. It's like, it probably is, like, an okay way to go. It's just, it feels like when you think of Indiana Jones, you would think it would more likely be a third-person game specifically. But yeah, obviously Machine Games more used to first-person stuff. I don't think it's, like, a bad fit. It's just,
it's just going to be weird.
Yeah, it's
you'd
like...
You'd expect an Uncharted kind of game, and instead it's a FPS. So
I wonder if they specifically made that decision to make it first person, because...
I think so it's just they did admit it's basically what they're good at. I think they straight up admitted it.
But also to sort of avoid any comparisons with Uncharted, because it's such such a massive franchise.
They're also responded with a way of saying, why do you want our game to look like other games? Very much saying, just appreciate the game for what it is. Don't ask us to make a game that is not our game.
You're gonna have people, because you find it sometimes, especially with Tomb Raider and things like that. You've got people that are really young that play games now, and they're going to be like, "Oh, this is just a ripoff of Uncharted." It's like, do you know who Indiana Jones is?
Yeah, I think they were so afraid of that.
But no, I'm looking forward to it. As you say, cautiously optimistic, I think. Yeah, it's probably the best way to do it. But I hope it's good, because the trailer looked fun.
It did, yeah.
I think they did get the charm of the indie remarks and personality. So hopefully the gameplay is actually also good.
And the stereotypical nemesis.
Moderately hopeful.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to punch more Nazis? Like, come on.
Exactly. Exactly. We always need to punch more Nazis.
Two games already here.
Yeah.
All right. I think those are the most important releases.
Yeah, I'd just throw one more in, but it's like on the most, on the kind of on the smaller side, it's a Fantasian finally getting saved from
finally saved from the Apple Hell.
Yeah, I just realized that that's like it was like an early December thing, but yeah, like 5th of December, it's like Fantasian Neo Dimension finally gets saved off Apple Arcade. It's like it uses like dioramas and stuff for the backgrounds. It's quite cool.
Yeah, it's very charming.
Like actual like handcrafted stuff. It's just, yeah, it's nice to see. And it's also funny that it's getting published by Square Enix. Like, it all came back to Square Enix again.
All the irony.
Yeah, it is pretty funny to see. But, yeah, it's definitely one I'm interested to see how it's like, because I don't have any Apple devices, so I just wasn't going to play it straight up. And it was also, obviously, you needed an Apple device and you needed the subscription too, so it wasn't even something you could just buy straight out. But, yeah. Definitely one I'm looking forward to. Not a bigger release. I think maybe Square Enix haven't been pushing it like insanely hard, but I think that's just kind of how they are a lot of the time. Like that's why they ran into
issues. Be thankful we're already putting money into publishing.
Yeah. It's like that's what they ran into that issue last year, and then they were like, "Oh, we're gonna fix it, guys. We're definitely gonna like stop releasing everything without any marketing all the time, and we're gonna release less games that have more like marketing put into them," and then they just didn't do that.
Phoenix market something that's not Final Fantasy, impossible. Like
it's Final Fantasy adjacent, it's fine. Yeah, but yeah, they're very weird.
The funniest part is the Final Fantasy games aren't even selling well either, so.
Well, not selling well enough for whatever numbers Square Enix expects. That is also Square Enix's thing.
Square Enix thing. That's usual.
It sold at like 2 million. Why wasn't it 2 million at one? Dead game. Sell the buff.
And if you're a fan of platformers, maybe Infinity Nikki could be an interesting game. I've seen little bits of gameplay. They haven't published
it's,
I still don't understand what it's supposed to be. So
it's exactly. think like something like Genshin Impact or whatever, but like it's specifically more on just the exploration side with very, very, very light combat. And there's obviously the whole like dress up gimmick, like the other games in the franchise. But yeah, it's very much like you explore and you like gather stuff and you just craft new clothing, but there's also obviously gacha, because of course there's gacha, because it's free to play.
Of course there's gacha.
Yeah. But as far as I can tell, that the whole thing definitely seems to be on just exploration with like there is combat, but it's not like it's not the main focus, and it's just very simplistic. Like yeah,
just
very, very orbs
and evading. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's
a cozy game.
Like,
yeah,
pretty much. I honestly I don't really know how the whole dress up side of things works, because it's like there's gacha for it and they have some like their own stats, but like they're more towards like different like categories and stuff, so I'm assuming that ties into something, but it's like it's definitely weird to figure out versus like the previous games, which as far as I could tell were more like it was more obvious how dressing up worked and like it had a more normal like setting and stuff rather than like a fantasy setting. So yeah, I don't know how a lot of it works.
Is there not like what are they called, like style challenges or something?
Yeah,
like
I'd assume
specific outfits.
Yeah, I'd assume they probably have it that be like that. Yeah, like you're forced to hit like certain like numbers for whatever specific styles they want, or like because I think it's like each of them has stats and yeah, like categories too. Because like that obviously has to weigh. They obviously have a way of trying to force people to spend money on gacha somehow.
I don't know why.
Your favorite clubs.
When I think about style challenges in the or outfits having their own specific stat for them, I'm starting to think of Pokemon contests. Like this is cute, and then you use a cute move.
Well, that's a memory.
And then you win the challenge because you've used Dig. In your contest.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. Like as far as I've seen, the series in general is just weird. So it's like obviously all the dress-up stuff, but like I remember like reading that like some of the storyline stuff for the other ones is like kind of wild, like actual like character death and stuff. Like, what's going on in these games? But yeah, it's definitely very different from the previous ones. Obviously, way higher budget, and like, yeah, the whole like fantasy stuff. It like looks kind of crazy too. I think it's Unreal Engine 5. It's like
yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of crazy. I don't see it. Just wondering how it's gonna run on mobile. It's just gonna blow people's phones up. Unless you probably need like,
if the audio parts are any indications, yeah, it's probably gonna blow up.
Well, that's the thing, because it's like
controller you were talking about earlier. It's got built-in fans. Yeah, you need the mandatory. You need the fans.
Yeah. Well, it's just the fact that it's like, obviously like you have the open world stuff like Genshin, but it's specifically going for like more realistic textures and stuff. So it's like, it's gonna be even more heavy on performance.
Well, yeah. As if the Genshin games are small in performance.
Yeah.
But at least they are Unity, not Unreal Engine, so yeah.
It'll be a busy week next week then, with Nikki Arrivals in the free-to-play sector, and kind of Path of Exile 2, but it only becomes free-to-play, as far as I know, once it exits early access.
Yeah, you need to spend like, it's like $30 or something for like the early access. That's probably $30 on the lower end. They probably have some other packs and stuff, but
yeah, most likely.
Yeah, definitely a lot happening early in the month, and then it kind of tapers off a bit. But that's pretty common. It's like pretty much like that last year, outside of like Lego Fortnite,
right? And if you're into free games, check out our advent calendar from December 1st. We got like over 70 prizes for you, or presents. And yeah, do you have anything to add?
It's nearly Christmas.
Merry Christmas, very early Christmas.
Just reminded me that I haven't yet to buy an actual advent calendar. That's what you've done.
I don't think I've ever used a real life advent calendar.
You're missing out on
They're not really breakfast. Popular here.
But... Well, thank you so much for your input and joining, and thank you for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time.
We'll see you next time. Yeah.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thoughts take a rest. There are several hearts in everyone's chest. Same shit, different day. As I always knew. Suddenly there it is, and I just can't breathe. Smell like rain on tarmac. I don't wanna leave. Need to feel, don't you need to feel too?
Here we are, you're no one. can take your step. I call out to you, no word leaves my lips. In the middle of a crowd, and yet unseen, it has disappeared, or was it even there? There was just a hint of a new scent in the air, staring vain, staring.